Alex Trias and myself, Matt Bischoff, holding it down tonight for episode 3 of Survivor Season 41. Johnny Fairplay is at yet another live viewing party at the Dirty Bull Brewing Company. So for those that are there or listening to this podcast, we miss you, Johnny. I hope you're having fun. I believe Jane Bright is there. Yeah. And maybe Zane Knight. I don't know if Zane Knight showed up. Did he? Have you seen any pictures or no?
I haven't seen the pictures. I was too entranced by the episode tonight.
Oh, dude, I swear, man. This season, wow. I have a lot of people texting me throughout this episode of like asking me what's going on. Like, what is up with all these twists? Like, how come this person can't use this and this? And it's crazy because we podcast about this show, and so there's a lot going on Survivor typically with just strategy and gameplay and learning these people's, you know, the way they're playing the game, et cetera. And you add in all these crazy twists and advantages, and it is a lot to juggle. But what are your thoughts? I mean, I know like people either have a really strong opinion one way or the other. Now I do like fresh new things in Survivor. I feel that as much as like a lot of us wish they would go back to a back to basics Survivor old school style. But honestly, the game is so fast paced now and people expect kind of craziness and advantages that I don't think they're going anywhere. And I think that's why Survivor's been on the air for, you know, 20 plus years, because they keep reinventing shit. Tell me your opinion, Alex, just kind of on all the advantages.
Right. So like, I think I talked about it a little bit last week. Like, I have mixed feelings about it. As like, I'm someone who didn't grow up watching Survivor. I started watching Survivor later on in my young life. But I don't mind the twists and advantages as long as what's the payoff for them. You know, like if it's easier for me to understand the twists and how they're explaining it, but I can understand why like the average viewer would be watching this, not wanting to know about strategy. They're here for the camp life. They're here to see like actual Survivor skills. And maybe that's not for them. But obviously this is where Probst and everyone is pushing it towards. So I'm sort of embracing it. I like the outcome of tonight. While we did lose a great character in Brad, we did bump out two advantages. So it's like, I don't mind having all these advantages because not all of them are going to be used. The threat of them creates votes. And I think ultimately it was his advantages and the overwhelming advantages that sent him home over JD.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it just sucks because like, I like Brad. I think he was like one of the most entertaining people. Last week, I was bummed that Voce went home the way he went home. I think, yes, Brad was a threat based on his advantages that he had. And it was just kind of bad luck because he has two different things going on. He has the finds that three-part idol that they have to do the sayings, right?
But if
everyone doesn't find it, then he loses his vote. And then the other advantage, he gets the steal a vote. And correct. So he's unable to play that because of the other advantage. So it's like a double kind of whammy. It's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. But yeah, I mean, I know Johnny kind of rags on Brad, like Napoleon Dynamite, you know, busting his balls. But man, I tell you what, watching this show with my family, my whole family like really dug Brad. And after the episode, my one son Ryder was like, man, I hope I get to meet Brad at a charity event, man. He seems so fucking cool and definitely entertaining. Now, I wish that Jeannie would have fucking gone.
Oh, same.
I mean, because I like Jade. Honestly, I like everybody on the tribe. I like Ricard, Shan. I love everyone with the exception of Jeannie. So it really sucks that Brad goes home. But we start out this episode with Liana crying, thinking like things are slipping through her fingers.
Yeah.
with the way the vote went. And I can understand that. And it's like more and more people, it seems, are getting emotional on these Survivor episodes. I mean, occasionally you would see people cry and things like that, but we see Liana get emotional. We see, you know, Shan kind of has a heartfelt moment. And we even, you know, at Tribal Council, when we see JD's beautiful speech, which we'll get into later, give this like heartfelt deal. And I think there's a lot of passionate people on this season. And I think that as things develop, I think there's going to be a lot of players that are going to have a hard time voting people out based on how big of hearts they have. Now, Ricard, I think he's going to be somebody, if he makes it far, that he's not going to have trouble voting people out. This is like a Russell Hance kind of game for him, in the fact that, like, no mercy, I don't give a shit. I'm here to play a game, and I'm not here to make friends, right? And I think that's how Ricard is going to play this game.
Well, you know, I'll speak for Johnny, but I'll be like, maybe it's a little too lowbrow to compare him to Russell Hance, but, but no, I get what you're saying. Like, he definitely came here to be like, I may like these people, I may love them, but I'm here to play a game. I'm here to play Survivor. And I think for Ricard, it's a lot easier for him to just check his, when it comes to making his decisions, to check emotion out the door and just be like, I have my eyes set on Brad. I think Brad is not trustworthy for me, so I need to take him out. JD, I see an incentive in keeping him. Right. You know, it's like, it was more so logic-based instead of, oh, I like JD more than Brad. He's like, I like both of them, but I don't trust Brad.
Right, right, totally. So here's another thing on tonight's episode, and I want to see where your feeling's at. They are basically giving advantages by the fire, right by camp. When these people wake up, it's like Tiffany finds the beware advantage right there by the fire.
And why was it right in the fire? It was literally right in there.
I know. I have no idea. And, you know, it's like it got kind of wild when, like, people were finding idols all the time. Finding clues, finding idols, but you had to like go search for things. This was like something that was just put right in their face on each camp. So Tiffany finds it, which Evie and Liana see this, which kind of sucks for Tiffany because she now has to share this information. But I have double feelings about this because I think it's lame just kind of like blatantly putting stuff right out in front of somebody. However, production is obviously planning this so everyone finds it quickly in this fast-paced new gameplay that's only 26 days? 26 days. So they are trying to put these things in action quickly. And so in that kind of way, I enjoyed that type of thing. But it is getting a little bit confusing.
Well, what I do like, though, about this indifferent, like, it's not like the people who just, like, had the theories of, oh, production just planted an idol for Ben in Heroes, Healers, and Hustlers, like on day 37 or whatever to save him. This is like, yes, it's there, but it's like what they've been preaching all season is everything comes with a price. It's not just, oh, you're getting an idol. Oh, you're getting an extra advantage. It's like, no, you can get it, but it comes with all these risks and all these, like, you have to check all the boxes in order to fulfill your request to get this advantage. So you're earning the advantage instead of just like, oh, if I poke enough times in a hole, I'll eventually find an idol.
Right. Now, do you think that there's going to be players throughout the season that, let's say they find advantages early on, it's like a beware advantage, or it's like a shit, I don't want to lose my vote again. Right. So do you think that later on, maybe people are going to be like, you know what? I have this advantage, but I'm not even going to open it because I'm scared of how it's going to play out. You know what I mean? I think there could be people that are like that. Now, I want to, for the people that are watching this live right now, Johnny Fairplay has some photos that he wants to give away. And the trivia question is pretty easy. So, you know, obviously I played Survivor. What was my tribe name on my season of Survivor? The tribe that I started on, if you put in the comments, the tribe that I was on, That person, first person to comment, wins the picture. And then we'll get your address, and Johnny will send that.
Yeah, and if you don't win it, and you want to get these pictures, because we have them from Nayanka, we have them from the challenge, Nani Gonzalez, Casey Clark, and we also have from the Survivor Micronesia, Mary Montaigne, as well as Nayanka. Yeah. So if you pay for $10 at Outcast tier, you will get those pictures delivered to you by Johnny. But yeah,
answer away. There we go. Huss, Goda is the correct answer, which is actually the name of my dog, one of my dogs. So Huss, we will somehow get, we need to get your address so Johnny can send it. So,
yeah, so Huss, please direct message Johnny on any of his social media with your name and address. Say what your YouTube name was, so that he can refer to it here, and he will send you the Nayanka picture. Congrats. Yes, yeah,
congratulations. So back at the Uwa tribe, we see Ricard and Jeannie and JD. They're all laughing on the beach, right? They're mm-hmm. all having a good time, and Brad kind of gets up. He's this hard ranch worker yep. guy. He always likes to work. He says how it's like not a big financial reward, but it's like the reward of hard work. So he's
total answer from a farmer.
That's right. So he's working on the fire and messing around, and he ends up looking down and finding the beware advantage.
Yep.
And yeah, dude, I'm really bummed as I'm just going back, you know, rehashing what just went down on this last hour of Survivor. And man, I mean, even in the comments, you know, it,
yeah, they're bummed.
Said I live in Australia, might be too far.
Well, that's Johnny's problem.
Yeah, that's Johnny's problem. good comment, Huss. So Brad has this now advantage that he finds by the fire. And then at the Luvu camp, we see Sydney kind of talking about Nasir's game. She's telling everyone all the things Nasir yep. has been saying. And we even saw last episode where the tribe kind of was like, we need to keep Nasir around because he really knows how to do camp life. And you know, he's an asset to have around camp, but now mm-hmm. they're realizing that, man, like Nasir ain't playing around, and Nasir is dangerous, and mm-hmm. Sydney kind of is not really having it. So she's telling everyone about Nasir,
and then Nasir's just watching her do it. He's just like, okay, I'm just gonna come out clean because there's no point in me hiding it. You know, right. It's like, so I'm just gonna be out in the open. I'm going to be like, hey, it is what it is. I'm willing mm-hmm. to move forward. But he's like very much referencing like, okay, well, Sydney's definitely just, you know, she's just trying to pound me for information so that she can tell the rest of the group mm-hmm. anything that I'm thinking about. So now I have to keep my eye on her. And you know what? I'm going to call my shot here. I'm just going to call my shot now. I think if this tribe ever goes to tribal before the merge, Sydney will be the first one out of this group. Like they're trying to push it way too hard, and it's a narrative pushed by her and Deshaun of trying to get Nasir out. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like you wouldn't be pounding it that hard unless it fails.
Yeah, no, I mean, like even like watching this episode tonight, as soon as Brad had like 50 million confessionals and no one hardly had any confessionals, in comparison, I was like, shit.
Yeah,
Brad's in trouble. It's too early for like for him not to be in trouble in an episode like
this. You know what though? And we'll get to it. But when we got the tribal, mm-hmm. they definitely gave me a big thing of doubt of, oh, maybe Brad won't go home because they it's like the big personal story at tribal is like, oh, no, don't stop talking, JD. You're coming out.
Yeah, that's what I thought, man, that could be a potential thing. Now, three tribes, right? We have three tribes right now. And I just don't, I'm not a huge fan of three tribes. I hope they switch things up sooner than later because just it's hard to see a lot of people's gameplay. I'm like, Evie and a lot of other characters, I just Danny McRae, we're just not seeing it because there are three tribes and there's so much time being spent on the advantages and who's finding them and going on boats to islands and all that stuff. So that really is taking away from character development and gameplay, in my opinion. Are you a fan of the three tribe model?
So there's certain seasons where it works. Mm-hmm. Like I was a big fan of it for Cagayan. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought they did a good job diversifying, getting everyone involved when they're able to.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of when they're able to. And sometimes when you have the issue with three tribes is, unless they're all like going back and forth and going to tribal, you really don't get enough time spread out equally. Because at the end of the day, like what people, I know a lot of us understand, it's a show. They have to make an edit that makes sense on why this person's going home while still like, but then sprinkling a little bit of the other tribe just so that you get something, but they're never going to be the primary focus because they're not going to tribal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whereas you're guaranteed to get equal time essentially for both until you hit after the immunity challenge.
Right. Yeah. So, and with these beware advantages, I mean, like I said, people, Chris Klein, great season so far, just confusing to keep up with who has what advantages and what they are. And by the way, Kyle S says Gota. So if Johnny doesn't want to send Huss the pictures in Australia, Kyle's in second place, but we'll see. It's up to fair play. It's up to fair play. The beware advantage. I mean, if you were playing, what would you be doing? Would you be going for it?
So if I understood what I think the first time I would have, just because you're in Survivor, you need to take those risks. But once you know the first time, like, oh, it has all these catches. Oh, I can lose my vote, which I think is the most important tool you can have in this style of game is having your vote. Mm-hmm. I feel I would have eventually just been like, I would put it back, tell and like try to erg someone towards it so that they think they found it.
Oh yeah. Or like, right. Like, no, that's like a good strategy.
Try to find someone, find someone that you trust, but also like I don't care if they lose their vote. Like as long as it's not me. And then you have awareness of who has it. Because in my mind, I'm not someone who would ever want to have the advantages. I would want to know where they are.
Yeah.
And the beware advantages gives me that opportunity to know where they are.
Yeah. Yeah. As a player, man, you know, if you're playing a game when you know there's all these crazy advantages going on, that's got to be very stressful. Because a lot of times it's just like, oh, like on my season, Caramel, people were stressed out if I had a hidden immunity idol. It was like, oh, we need to vote Matt out, blah, blah, blah. Well, now it's like you're worried about who's got the steal a vote and who's got a freaking idol nullifier. You know what I mean? It's just so many factors.
Yeah.
So Uwa, day six.
Mm-hmm.
You know, JD kind of, you know, they, well, actually, the one thing I will say real quick is I do like the fact that, it'll say like JD and it'll say he's got an extra vote.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like, so, it's like Australian Survivor. Like whenever they have the idols, they'll like put up there, like has one idol, has two idols, you know, it's like,
yeah. So I think that really helps you out as far as keeping track of who has what and like, oh, I forgot they have that or whatever.
Yep.
So people are out, you know, trying to find, like JD's trying to find an idol, but he can't find it. And he's like, well, maybe someone found it. Like Ricard and Shan are both smart players. I like both Ricard and Shan a lot.
I love this whole tribe. Like, honestly, all four of them, like minus Genie, like the only thing that we get that little side comment from Genie, like, oh, no, I don't have it, but my alliance member does. Like in confessional, like that was the first bite we get from her. I'm like, I'm glad that she's at least like giving us something. But I love that. I think this is only the second time I think they've done it since they did it in David vs. Goliath, where Brad goes like, "Oh, well, we actually found it 30 minutes earlier," and it cuts back.
Yeah, right. So yeah, exactly. So it shows the backstory, like right, like he said 30 minutes before. When Jeannie's there, she's like, oh my God, like, you know, Brad's got it. And then Brad does the mistake of trusting Shan and telling Shan about the idol, and not only telling Shan about the idol, tells Shan about the other advantage that he has. So Shan, I feel, is a very dangerous player. I think she's kick ass. I think that she's someone that's going to cut people's throats. And we even saw that. It's like in the pregame, I don't know if it was a bio that we did or what, but it's like, hey, I'm a pastor, but I am going to be willing to do anything to win this game. And you can tell she still has a big heart, but I think she's in a great spot. I mean, in this tribe and even in this game, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Like last week, we sort of really understood the pulse. If you didn't understand it after the first episode, you understood it after episode two. Evie is, who we didn't hear from at all today, was the crux. She's the crux of that tribe. Like, everything that's going to happen goes through her. Mm-hmm. We have a similar story here for the Uwa tribe, which is basically confirmed now for three episodes, is Chantel is the crux. Everyone thinks that she's their number one, or at least they want her to be their number one. So they're like tripping over themselves. Like, here's all these advantages I've had. Oh, you don't trust me anymore? Here, I'm going to give you my advantage so that you can trust me again. Like, it's amazing. And it is. So like, I get nervous just because we've seen some people who go early that have that strong thing and then they vote them out. I don't see that with Shan. I think she's definitely a long. She has to make it in.
I hope so. I mean, because she's very kind and sweet, and people like trust in her, and they just want to. They just want to give her information, dude. And it's just like she just got that vibe about her. So if she can keep that vibe and stay under the radar and not have someone like Ricard start seeing through that and be like, dude, she's got to fucking go. Cause that dude's smart too. You know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of savvy players. So we see Brad deciding that I need to sneak out of camp get on this boat, but I don't want people to know that I'm gone. So he makes this like we kind of saw his terrible version of a spy shack a couple episodes ago or whatever, when he was like at in hiding in the jungle listening in on some conversations. Well, this time he's at it again, and he's making out of I guess like a tree stump. He makes it look like a dummy body laying there, which is actually smart on him, because if it's dark out, and you would, if you're just kind of laying there, you would not really think anything of it, I don't think.
Right. Like, I think like he made a bare bones thing. Like, would you want to use it as a dummy in the daylight? Absolutely not. But like, when it's like pitch dark out, like you're not sitting too close to the fire.
Right.
I don't really expect people to wake up and go to other people. Like, they'll wake up, put their head up to see if people are there, and they're going to see a figure, and they're like, okay, that's Brad, and then go back to sleep. So, you know what? It was fun. I loved it. It's like, He was there to make some good TV and have a fun time and play the game. And I love that he went for it.
I do too. So what I do like about this journey to this other beach island, which or whatever.
I think it was the edge of extinction.
Really?
I think it was the edge of extinction, and they just added a hut.
Okay.
Because like, there was other stuff there. I'm like, I kept like thinking to myself, that looks like the edge. That like, I'm expecting fucking Reem to show up.
Like, that would be a great twist.
Ethan's still there going up and down the mountain with logs. Like, they're just like,
oh, dude, that's funny as hell. So it's a beautiful scene. It's all lit up. It's all lit up. Gorgeous lighting by the fire. And so they have basically choices to make. You could either get a tarp. So if all three of you say choose tarp, everyone goes on with the tarp, which is huge on Survivor. To protect you from the elements, or tribe advantage for your tribe, or a steal a vote. So it's interesting because Sydney is kind of feeling people out, where Brad's just kind of more blatantly honest of sort of what he wants to do. And Tiffany's kind of like, well, do you guys just want to see, kind of not really tell each other what we're going to do and just kind of see how it plays out? Which is, people see right through her game savviness.
So this girl is reckless. You know what? You know what? Before, I was like, I wanted her to go home because I was like, oh, I want Voce. I want Dr. Death here still. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, in the challenge, she struggled, but she got through it. No one dropped, and I was very impressed that she stayed up, because it's not easy doing what they just did. But I love how just, like, it's not even careless. It's just, like, she's just out there. She's just like, oh, well, let's try this. And like, she thinks afterwards that she created all this goodwill with both of them because she didn't take the seal vote. And Sydney's just like, yeah, I don't trust that girl. I don't trust her at all. And Brad's just like, yay, I got my thing.
Well, the crazy thing is like, you know, Sydney does not trust her, although they're on separate tribes.
Yeah.
That's not good, because if they do some sort of tribe swap, going to situations like this, where there's one player from each tribe, you're kind of getting a little bit of information about how your game is going to be. So Sydney is already telling that Tiffany is a fucking game player that is dangerous. And then, you know, even the people on Tiffany's tribe are like, dude, like, she is unpredictable. And I think that, I don't know. I think people are going to have a little bit too much of her kind of crazy gameplay at some point and just get her out.
Yeah, like, I know a lot of people I've been talking with, like, they saw her and Brad as, like, oh, they're the final three goats. They're going to go there. I had a feeling Brad was going to go out pretty much. He just seemed like that type of character, but I was like, while he's here, I'm going to love watching him. Tiffany, I feel like, is going to be one of those players who, she could make merge just through, like, luck get there. And at first, people are going to be like, oh, you know, she's going to be weak in the challenges. So one less person I have to worry about for getting immunity. We'll keep her around. There's other threats. Mm-hmm. I could eventually see, like, in the midpoint, people are going to be like, I need to make sure I have a seat at the table. She's taking a seat at the table. We need to remove her. And she's going to be, like, all over the place. Let's remove that. Let's cut that out.
Mm-hmm. I hear you, man. I hear you. So at the end of the day, Brad chooses to steal a vote.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney and Tiffany both choose Tarp.
Tarp. Yeah, so Sydney, and she explains it, so she chose the Tarp because she couldn't afford to lose her vote. And when you split, it was only people who picked the Tarp wouldn't get a Tarp, but the people who got a steal vote would. But if you all picked steal vote, you would all lose your vote. So she's like, I can't risk losing my vote. I don't know why Tiffany wants to, but I'm going to protect my vote here.
Right, right.
I like this better than just saying risk your vote, protect your vote. Like, I like that it was, there was two things here. You either got a physical steal vote or you got a physical tarp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
or you got nothing.
I agree. So Kyle S. says, I think Jeannie will be the goat. Taken to the end.
Well, I hope not, Kyle S., because she's giving us nothing.
Yeah, which means that she'd be a perfect person to take. There ain't no way girl's winning.
I know.
So we're going to the immunity challenge. And before we get to the immunity challenge, Alex, can we get a word from our
sponsors?
And we will be right back for the last half of breaking down this episode, you guys.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code Survivor.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
We are back and it is immunity challenge time along with reward. And the reward part is you either get a big bunch of fruit or a smaller bunch, but it's two tribes that get immunity, which is good. So as they're walking into the challenge, Jeff kind of says, how are you guys feeling? And totally setting up Brad's hilarious phrase that he has to say based off that advantage that he, you know, we saw Xander say the stuff about the butterflies. Brad has to say the broccoli phrase, and I'm pretty sure he butchered it.
Now, oh, he absolutely butchered it.
Like, he's like, what is he saying, dude?
Like, it was just like him trying. He was like, I have to remember. Oh, broccoli. Then I feel like halfway through him talking about like broccoli, he's like, oh, broccoli. They're like little trees.
I was laughing.
You just see Xander like side eyeing. I'm like, Wait. Are we doing this now? Are we doing it?
So as much as you know, the annoyance of that some people might think of some of these advantages, this makes for a pretty funny scenario. It gives you a good laugh because he's butchers the broccoli deal, followed by Xander repeating his phrase once again. The fruit reward I think is pretty cool because, you know, they're not really getting much food out here at all. So I think having fruit would be a big advantage this part in the game.
Oh, absolutely.
Now break down how this challenge works.
Okay.
Give us a rundown.
Okay, guys. So in your tribes of four, you're going to go into the water one at a time to this big rope bridge. Sorry, it's not like TJ Live movie. This badass rope bridge.
Oh, yes.
Where you then would have to walk through the rope bridge with only the four little dangling ropes to help keep you up as you go for a single rope. You then jump off the ledge, which allows the next person to go. Once all four people go, you then run as a group to this big circle of sand. You have to dig out your sandbag bag, get to the platform, and then you have to throw five beanbags or sandbags up onto these little platforms. So they didn't show where the platforms were at first. So I was thinking it was going to be one of those like stereotypical, like they're planted on the ground and you just throw them forward. Like if you're doing cornhole, you know.
Yeah, right, right.
But
right.
Then when they showed where they were actually showing, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. I mean, this, the end part of this challenge would be very, very difficult. And I like how this thing goes. I mean, it's basically like, you know, my kids go to like ropes courses down at a little entertainment center place. And I was totally down with this challenge. And honestly, you know, Deshaun, Evie, and Shan go first. And pretty much everyone is killing it. No one is terrible in the water. We see a couple funny dives. I think even when JD dove into the water, he kind of almost belly flopped. Brad was the only one that did a gorgeous dive into the water. But everyone's killing it. Even Tiffany.
Yeah.
When Tiffany gets to the part where going over the rope, I'm like, oh my God, she's uncoordinated as hell. But she somehow, because I'm watching it and I'm like, there is no fucking way that she's going to be able to exit the rope. Like, okay, she's struggling, but it kind of goes uphill a little bit to get onto that platform. Mm-hmm. So there is a technique to get to that last platform. And then when she gets to the platform and Jeff's like, you got to get into the water. She just kind of like falls
flops.
Off. And,
yeah. You know what? I was happy with her performance. I did not need Jeff to also give the kudos. Cause I'm like, he's looking too hard at her now being like, oh, this is my Ceree. This is my Ceree. I can keep giving her so much praise for completing these physical tasks. I'm like, no, just let her do it. Let her be like everyone else. I feel like that, like, I feel even comments like that impact the game.
It does, but I feel the reason that kind of looking at the season and just like maybe even this episode as a whole, I think like if you're sitting on the couch and you watched the last couple episodes where you're like, Tiffany's doing shitty in a challenge, they're going to fucking lose. And then she actually does it. And Jeff is like, see, that's how you do it. I think it's really making the viewer relate to that character. Okay. So they're not a bunch of actors, right? So like when Survivor first started and you had Rudy and Richard Hatch and all these different people from all walks of life, you could relate to someone on the cast. So like, I think that someone is, you know, relate, like the uncoordinated type person is relating to Tiffany. I think the younger demographic person watching JD and his confessionals and his story are like, I can relate to him. Like when I'm sitting there watching it with my kids, it's like, wow, like that's the character that I think their brains can relate with. And then you have like Lex, who you did the premiere podcast with, or Fair Play, that's like, ooh, Ricard's playing a real methodical type game. So I think that the benefit of Jeff saying that's how you do it is for those type of viewers. So there's two sides to it. That's kind of like my theory on that whole thing. But I'm seriously was shocked that because everyone was like doing so well, I was like, oh, she's gonna blow.
And she's like, she was like leaning so far back. I was like, oh my God, she's definitely gonna drop. Like she's gonna reach for that last one and fall over. But she didn't. She got through it. They all Yase catches up with Ua. They get their sandbags at the same time. Tiffany's the first one on the Yase tribe to get a sandbag on too.
And I then, know.
Like, yeah, and then Xander comes in.
I was surprised. Yeah, she was the first one to land the beanbag. And then JD's trying to do these like hilarious basketball moves. Like I watch my kids and different people play basketball in the driveway or on the basketball team, and they're trying to do these like real stylish layups. And Jeff Probst's like, "You're getting style points, but dude." So I thought it was hilarious. If I'm watching and I'm JD, I'm like, "Oh God, this is humiliating," but it's also kind of funny. But he finally learns, like, okay, in theory, what he's trying to do, I understand it. He's trying to get it and barely the momentum of the finesse, barely lob the sandbag and up in the air. Yes. Versus like throwing it way up in the air and then like a fucking splat, like a turd hitting the water, you know?
Yeah. But when you do it three times and you're missing it by a lot, change it up.
Yes. But the ending part of this challenge, this is the equalizer that we see in challenges where there's a puzzle, et cetera. This one was fun to watch. I was like yelling at the TV, like, holy shit. And the fact of the matter is Johnny Fairplay and I, and the cast assessment, we're like, dude, they're going to get the Yellow Tribe is going to get decimated every challenge, right? So the fact that they actually did not lose was actually pretty awesome, because I would have thought there's no fucking way they're going to pull this off. So, you know, Luvu ends up winning, and then Xander pulls through and wins it for Yase, and Ua is unfortunately going to tribal. And going into this, I mean, it's day seven now.
Yes.
I believe. You know, Brad, he cannot use his steal a vote. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is breaking down these advantages. He has two things going on. He has the one part, which is the three person idol. If everyone finds it, everyone says the phrase, they get an idol. And if everyone doesn't say the phrase, then each, like Xander loses a vote every time. Yeah. And Brad's going to lose a vote. Brad also has this steal a vote that he got from the island he went to on the boat. But because he can't actually cast a vote, that nullifies that deal. So Brad's in a pretty sticky situation, but I don't even think Brad realizes how dire of a situation he is in.
No, not at all. Because you hear him in his conversations with Jeannie, and I think he may have said it was Shan, but he says the four of us just have to stay strong. Like in his mind, he just has this like one track mind of like, okay, we are all working as a tribe here. JD cost us the challenge by delaying being able to put the beanbags off. He's always overselling, but always underperforming. So he's the one who has to go. And like with his straightforward like process, he's just like, it makes sense. So obviously everyone else thinks this makes sense too.
He's got the mentality of someone in like season two or three in Survivor. Like, okay, the weak person, they go, you know, like he was even earlier on in the first, you know, episode or whatever saying, well, you did shitty, so it's going to be one of the two of you going home. So I think he was naive as a player.
Yes.
Because he was playing like a long time ago, an older generation style player would play, the old school survivors. The new savvy survivors like Shan and people that really know, and even JD knows this game, realize like, dude, like you're in a bad spot, which is good for everyone else on the tribe but Brad. But I feel bad for Brad, because if only he would have been self-aware that, man, I have a big target on my back because I have these things. So we see JD, he makes a rookie mistake. He says he's got to go to the bathroom. He walks away, and then he comes back, and he's got this advantage hanging out the front of his pants. And Shan kind of like calls him out and sees this. And it's like, dude, how do you not have that concealed?
It's that paper.
I know.
Put it in your pocket.
And it was totally just like oh, I'm just going to stick this right now, popping out of the front of my pants. So Shannon and Ricard both see what's going on here. And Shan really is like, this pisses me off. This is like an untrustworthy thing. But in JD's defense, and he ends up saying this, like, you don't tell everyone what advantages that you have. Like, I can understand certain things you tell people in your alliance, but, you know, in my season, Karamoan, I was great friends with Michael Snow. Love the guy. Michael and I are texting during this episode, but if I would have had some crazy, certain thing, like there might've been a chance that I didn't tell him everything because I would have been like, you know what? Like, he's the number one person in my alliance. I don't really need to tell him. Like, this isn't like hurting our relationship. I don't feel like I'm lying to him by not sharing this. You can't share everything in the game. JD's got this, and Shan's immediately like, I want JD out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like you hear, I know I'm sort of jumping parts here, but like hear when JD's like apologizing to Shan and he's like saying what you say. He's like, well, you know, I watched the game. You're not supposed to tell people your advantages. So I thought I wasn't hurting by not saying anything. But then by you pointing it out and seeing it instead of me telling you, it makes it that much worse than me just not saying anything at all. So I completely understand it, which puts him in the bind. We'll talk about what he ends up doing, but we'll go back to what you're talking about here with the conversation between her and Brad. And I love this conversation because it's a very, like, if you're a Survivor fan, you play like the Survivor games online or in real life, like Real Hood and the Bob Crowley's game.
It's like
these are the conversations you always believe are happening, even though sometimes Survivor doesn't show it. But we get this very candid, strategic conversation between the both of them. Like, this is why JD could go home. This is why Brad could go home. And I think really at the end of the day, while Shan probably made the ultimate decision, Ricard ultimately got his way. Like, so I give Ricard some props here by creating enough of a convincing argument to help push Shan towards that
ultimate decision. it was brilliant because Ricard makes the case to Shan saying, yeah, but like JD is kind of indebted into us now. Like, he knows he screwed up, so he's going to try to do whatever he can to gain our trust back. So we kind of have him in our back pocket. Plus, he's a young kid. And, I definitely think he's not really playing the game like that normal young people play, like that Will guy on seasons back. I forget, Will, real young guy. JD actually is smart. And stuff like that, although he did a stupid move.
I think he's like too smart for his own good. Like, he's playing too meta.
He is.
And it's just being very out front about it.
So you and I started texting back and forth at this part. So like, JD ends up giving Shan his advantage. Prior to tribal or anything else, he's like, look, I want you to trust me again. I'm going to give this to you right now, right? Which is like, you automatically think, oh, this is like an Eric Reichenbach move. Yeah. Like, this is so stupid. However, the difference is JD knows it's stupid. He even says this could be a majorly stupid move. He's no dummy. He knows what he's doing. And he's like, I'm playing Survivor. I got to gamble. So, I mean, do you think this is a good move to try to gain trust back with Shan? Do you think it's actually working?
Like, I'm gonna walk back my text that I sent you.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm not 100% sure anymore. Like, I like, in a strategic world, I would think you want leverage even when you're in a position of weakness. Be like, I know I fucked up, but if you guys keep me through tribal, this extra vote's yours. I will hand it, deliver it to you upon us walking back into camp. I will give you my extra vote.
Yeah.
But with someone like Shan, who isn't just playing strategically, but also is playing with some emotional intelligence here, like, by trying to do that, like, you see her in her confessional, like, okay, I know that he's genuinely sorry about this because you wouldn't just hand me this.
Right.
You know, maybe that makes him more reliable for me. And plus, you know, it's an extra vote. Mm-hmm. Brad has a fucking steal a vote and a fucking idol.
Yeah.
And I know. My alliance member, Ricard, isn't high on him. And if we really think we have JD now ingratiated into us, Brad's good at challenges. He's good around camp. But you know what? This is a game of Survivor. We're only going to have probably like three more rounds until
some sort of switch up or whatever.
I think like a merge at that point, because we saw in the preview they're not swapping, because Survivor likes to make it very obvious when they're swapping, and they didn't show that.
Yeah, there's no, you're right. Your buffs. No. So the thing we see after this crazy move, JD gives Shan the advantage to hold on to. Shan says, this is why Survivor is so hard. Like, I am getting emotionally attached to these people. So whether it's Brad or JD that goes home, it's going to suck. So the beautiful thing I like about Shan as a player is you're seeing, because I'm a sensitive, heartfelt, loving dude. So I see that in Shan, but I also see cutthroat gameplay. So I think that it's very good versus evil. I mean, her being a pastor, playing the game of Survivor, we're seeing this battle that she's having. But at the end of the day, she realizes that this is a game. And as hard as it's going to be, she's going to do whatever is best for her game moving forward. So going into Tribal Council, JD kind of admits, I screwed up on my fancy basketball shots in the challenge. Like, he's owning up to his shitty challenge performance, right? He's got he's not trying to, you know, get around that. He's boldly saying this. And then we see Ricard saying that personal alliances at this point are more important than physical strength in the challenges.
Yeah, and we're seeing that is like a very prevalent, at least for Ua and Yase, it seems to be a very prevalent idea, except for the people who have gone home. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like there's a lot of people that are here to play the game, and they're like, yes, getting to the merge is important, but what's the point of me getting to the merge, like Ricard says, if yes, I have the challenge people around me that got us there, but what if we're not good with each other, then it means nothing, because they're just gonna betray me. But if I come in with less numbers, but they're numbers that are tight, that's powerful.
Yeah, right, totally. Brad makes a comment saying, in this game, trust is all you have, right? And this again, I feel, shows Brad's naive kind of old school mentality, that he's not really a major new school student of the game, because he's kind of like, my word is bond, trust, alliances. He's not even realizing that he could be going home. And so it is, you do have to trust people out there, but man, I mean, this one, this Tribal Council is a gnarly one. I mean, JD starts going on, and I'm very impressed by JD's confessionals as a young person in relation to a lot of other older people that play Survivor. Man, he kills it in his confessionals, and at Tribal Council, I know why this guy got casted for Survivor. It wasn't only because he's like a good-looking kid with dreads, and he's got this, I was bullied and stuff. He's a great speaker and a storyteller. And right now, you guys, if you are listening to this podcast, Survivor is casting for the next two seasons, right? And Michelle Fitzgerald put out in a lot of Survivor groups a message from one of the casting people, Caitlin Moore. A lot of people are sending in TikTok videos, which they're not going to even pay attention to. Survivor really wants to see good storytellers, and because getting on Survivor is all about the confessional. So I want to try to bring this up. If you ever wanted to apply, they're getting a record number of submissions because Survivor hasn't been on in so long. And do you know where those tips are? Have you looked on social media or have you not?
I saw a brief message on it. I would have to go and look into it myself.
So anyways, basically, go to the casting website through CBS and apply for the show. If it's a dream of yours. This was a dream of JD's. He got on the show. They're looking for good storytellers. Send a video in. I sat there for years not sending videos in. I sent a video in 2003. No one ever called me. I didn't apply again until 2011, and I got on.
Yeah.
So if you love Survivor, please, please, please don't hesitate. Go to the website, and you have to tell them, like, apply what you do in your real life and how that's going to help you in the game of Survivor. So when you see someone like JD, I was bullied, but then I persevered. And I look up to all these people. Like, the reason that I have dreadlocks and this necklace is because of people like Malcolm and people like Ozzy. And this gave me confidence, and this changed my entire life. This is why I like JD, because he is speaking as someone who has a lot of life experience, even though he's like 20 years old or whatever. And he goes on this tangent talking about crystals and when crystals break. Can you kind of guide me through this?
Yeah, it's just like he's talking about like when a crystal breaks it, and like chances when a crystal breaks, it's hard. Like, yes, it's still a crystal, but you can't, it's very difficult to put it back together. So that's a very good analogy that he used for trust, because trust is very hard to gain. When you right. have it, it's, you know, it's tight, it's very pure, it's like a diamond, you know, it's right. very compact, it's good, it's wealthy in a sense of like trust is valuable.
Oh, it is. It
when
is.
You break when you break it, it's, you could piece it together. It's going to take a whole hell of a lot of work to get there. But like, going off what you're saying about that, it's like, I liked what you said about like go out and put your video out there. Go apply if this is what you're passionate about. I've never sent a video out. This may be the first year that I do, because I'm like, you know, you watch these people on TV and you think of them as larger than life people, even though in reality they're an everyday person. Like mm-hmm. not all of us are Johnny who lives this, you know,
yeah, right.
Johnny Fairplay life. But like you just have to have confidence in yourself and like be confident in who you are, and that's good enough. Like, even if they don't accept your video, it's like knowing yeah. that you did it.
Exactly. Good. Exactly. So JD is, you know, he's apologizing to his tribe for the mistrust. He's already given Shan
yep.
The advantage. So he's trying to gain her trust back. So this is actually working out for him. And, you know, Jeff asked JD, like, what is Survivor been like for you? Like, if you go home tonight, tell me how this has changed your life. And he goes on to this story, like I said, I'm talking about all the players he looked up to and how his whole like vibe of who he is with his hair and jewelry and stuff really has, Survivor has made a huge impact on his life. And I think, like, I've played Survivor, I do this podcast, and Survivor is a huge part of my life. And it is life-changing. And it's a blessing that I got to play. Not too many people get to play it. But for those that listen to our podcast and, like, you've never played, but you have gotten to kind of live through Johnny and myself and other people you've met that have played Survivor in the Survivor community, it's one whole awesome community. So thank you, every one of you guys who's commenting and listening live in what we do. We're passionate about this show. And there's some new shows, too, that are under the Reality NSFW umbrella. So just keep an eye out. If you like what we do, you can become a patron and hear Johnny and I's crazy fucking stories that we tell all the time. And trust me, the Q&As, I even get a bunch of information that I don't know that Johnny always chats about. But yes, you can go to adfreensfw.com if you want to support us and see some extra content, become a patron. But JD's whole speech of what Survivor means to him was awesome. And at this point, we had spoken, Alex. Shit, could JD be going home? Because we've seen this before at Tribal Council. I can't recall the season off the top of my head, but we've seen people do these big speeches. And it's like, okay, I know what it was. It was Elaine Stott, mm-hmm. I believe, did a big speech, real heartfelt speech, and then bam, she get voted out. So JD does his speech. It's time to vote. And unfortunately, Brad goes. I would rather see Jeannie go, but it was kind of obvious in the way the edit was going tonight that it was going to be Brad. Props to the rest of the tribe for voting out Brad because he had all these advantages. Now, I want to ask you this. Since Brad is now gone, mm-hmm. and the three-person idol deal, right? So Brad had the saying about the broccoli. Xander has the butterfly saying. Where does this lie now? Does it go back into play, or explain how you think it's going to go down?
So I feel like they would treat it like it was a regular idol and they would have to rehide it. Because like the trickiness of this and not knowing all the ins and outs production-wise of how they want these idols to play out. Because obviously they want all three to have those three lines said at the same immunity to activate them. Those are the idols for the game. Yes. So I would assume they would put it back out for someone to find. Mm-hmm. And then still do it, because I don't think that they're breaking up these tribes anytime soon. And I wouldn't think in good conscience they would put a situation out there where if one of them went, Xander now can't vote forever.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, yeah, yeah,
like, yeah. I just don't feel like that would, like, you know, Survivor's not fair, but I'd be like, oh, man, that's such a raw deal if that's the case.
Oh, yeah. Well, I tell you what, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm bummed to see Brad go. I think he was great TV. But I am glad that it's kind of equalizing the playing field a little bit. I'm glad that Yase didn't go back to Tribal Council mm-hmm. and get decimated again. So I'm excited. And Brad kind of, you know, he didn't see it coming. When Brad gets voted out, he stands up and he's definitely in shock. He's like, dude. So Huss asked, shouldn't Brad have used his shot in the dark?
He can't.
So he can't even use...
No, when you, it costs you your vote to use the shot in the dark. He doesn't have a vote.
Okay, so he can't even do it. So nope. Do you think we're going to see that come into play multiple times? We haven't seen that. I mean, it was introduced. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the kind of the conversation of all these twists, like how do you keep track of all of them? But
I feel like they have to come up multiple times, but... I feel like these players feel not in a sense that they're confident. I feel like almost they're like, I don't want my game to be decided based off of me putting a dice in. Like, it's one thing of like my fate decided by an idol play. It's another thing of like, oh, by doing this dice roll, I'm admitting that I suck at the game. And now this is my only shot of saving myself, which means maybe I save myself one time. I then lose that die and I'm out next time.
Right, right.
So, like, so, I feel like they're going to be very... There's going to be a big struggle in deciding that. I could see someone like Jeannie putting it in this spot who went mm-hmm. Back to Tribal and just be like, you know, let me put my thing in.
So, speaking of that, so let's say Uwa goes back to Tribal Council next episode, right? Yep. And you have Ricard, Shan, JD, and Jeannie. Is Jeannie on the chopping block, or... Is Shan and Ricard like, okay, let's get a threat out. I mean, JD's too much of a threat if he goes deep in this game that let's get him out now.
Yeah. So I feel like in the next time on Survivor, they try to make it look like JD's like on to Shan and be like, oh, she played me or whatever. But I also could easily see it somehow being Jeannie. And he's like, oh, Jeannie played me by voting for me. I thought everyone was going to be voting Brett. I don't know. I think it's a red herring that they're going to like make him go against Shan. I think I feel on paper, it seems like Ricard would want Jeannie out and JD would want Jeannie out before they would attack each other. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Shan has any need for Jeannie. At least they're not showing us that relationship. We just know that Jeannie exists on their island and that she was tight with Brad. That's all we know.
So three episodes in, how are you feeling about this season of Survivor as a whole?
I'm loving it. Like, I understand people's frustrations with the advantages and whatnot, but like, honestly, that's how Survivor's going to be at this point until Jeff like has Tyler Perry and Mike White tell him, but are having all these advantages fun.
Yeah.
And then somehow he's going to just turn it into a monster. Like, I haven't seen the monster yet.
I haven't either. I haven't seen the monster.
Where's this smoke monster?
I don't know where the smoke monster is, but you guys, another great episode. Thank you so much for supporting Reality NSFW. We will be back next week for another episode. And then, catch all the stuff. Just search up, on Facebook, just Reality NSFW. Check out all the different podcasts that we have, because Brent Wagamont was doing the Big Brother stuff, challenge coverage. We have some other Survivor-related deep dive podcasts. If you want to tell the people about that, if you want to really, we're breaking down the episode in like a hour and 15 minute type format here every week. And Johnny Fairplay, I'm assuming, will be back next week to join us. But you never know. But what is the Deep Dive podcast all about, Alex?
Yeah, so that's ran by Alex Rubino and Lauren Pratt, who are also hosts on this channel. And they try each week to potentially bring in another Survivor guest to break down more of a deep dive, having more time to assess it than we do. And also rank currently based off the episode how they feel the players are all playing at that time. So it's a lot of fun. They had Brett LaBelle on for this past week. Great listen. Definitely check it out if you have not. But yeah, we have that. And obviously we have the challenge on Thursdays with myself and Lauren. Hopefully if Matt's able to after work or Johnny can stop by as well. It's been a fun season. Not the best season, but it's been a fun season and great coverage.
Yeah, and we just constantly trying to bring you guys the most entertainment, and we are stoked that Survivor is back. So Alex, I will see you next week, and I love you guys, and here's a little final word from our sponsors, and we'll see you guys next time. Cheers, everybody.
Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new 4th generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR.
Now listen, I have had my fair share of mishaps in the past, and going into Halloween, the guys like to dress scary. The girls like to dress inviting. And as a result, you're bound to get your pants down if you do things right. Well, you don't want a big bush down there. You want those things freshly trimmed, shaved so perfectly. Don't use a razor. Go to Manscaped. It's the only way, or you will not be getting treats, but only tricks.
It's time to bundle up with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. And if you're looking to cozy up this fall, this trimmer is essential.
Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn a 4000 LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave, plus it's waterproof.
I hate shaving in the dark. That 4000 LED spotlight, perfect. But the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. So you use the Lawnmower 4.0 for your rear, use this for your ear. This nose and hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand.
That's all they're talking about at Target these days. It's crazy. Then after trimming the pumpkin patch and whacking the leaves, give your balls a boost and use the Crop Reviver. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. You see me on the road, I have the Manscaped Shed Travel Bag with me everywhere I go. Get comfy on the home and on the go this season.
So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Make your balls a priority this fall. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Promo code SURVIVOR. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I mean, I used to love eating that delicious cereal, but I can't. But wait, I can, thanks to Magic Spoon.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. Plus, build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my new favorite, maple waffle.
Magic Spoon just recently brought back two super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle, just like you're talking about, Johnny, permanently. When these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. You should make sure to get these again and try them for the first time. They're delicious and indulgent.
Every morning I wake up, I look into my cabinets. All I have is Magic Spoon cereal. I have all the options. And I'll do a little bit of I'll mix some cookies of cream with a little cinnamon, maybe cocoa and peanut butter. But oh man, that maple waffle just by itself is just something so spectacular. Hey, they're perfect not only for breakfast, but that guiltless midnight snack.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast.